Okay, so basically what we're looking at is backing Group 2, the one called Use Group Project. And so in this particular subroutine, I have set up 3 memory variables. So those are just 3 variables that I've got. Then I'm going down and I took in information from the box, converted it to double, and put it inside those fields. Okay, so if I run this, okay, on load, first of all, on load, notice this one up here is underscore load. All the others are underscore click. Underscore load means it will do it when the program starts. Underscore load is like housekeeping. It's one-time thing that does when the program is first loaded. So if I have something I want to do just once, I can use it doing load. And I was actually planning to go over that part today anyway because I forgot to do it yesterday. So I have load there. And the way I get load, notice the load is doing a message box.show. And I'm saying show, and I'm putting this up. Okay, this is from week 2 if you want to. Or you can all move to the front row, because you're right. Okay, why did the smart board? Apparently I think I closed it. I'm just curious.
Is there a way to make that larger?
Make what larger?
The screen.
I don't think there is. There's a way to move up to the front row.
Okay.
Does anybody see anything that will make it larger? Step into...
Even on the computer itself, I mean, it doesn't matter. Oh, what you just did, you can do that with a label too, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me go back. And honest, if you come up, you can see it better. I don't know.
It takes forever to open the Visual Basic, though.
Yes, it does. You can walk back and forth.
You can see it right now that you shut the lights off.
It's better now with the lights off? Okay. Okay, so if you go back to the form and you click any blank place at all, it makes the load. So if you have a form and you want to have a load, click any blank place on the form and you get a load. Okay? So that got me the load. So notice it says user group form load. And that's the name of the form, okay? And so it is loading that form. Then inside there I said message box show. Please enter item name, price, and cost. So when I run that, that's the first thing I'm going to see. Okay, now what I'm going to do is notice down here I'm assigning things. So I'm going to put up MSGBOX, show me what is in double price. MSGBOX, show me what is in, no, that isn't what I wanted. I wanted to do it after cost. Show me what is in cost. This is a great way to debug because basically now I'm going to be able to follow what's happening. So if I run this, come on. Okay, if I run this, Excuse me, there we go. I was trying to figure out why that wasn't coming up. So when I loaded, it gave me this. Now, messagebox.show is the way you write it if you're going to keep it in your program. If you're doing debugging and you just want a quick and dirty little thing, I do MSGBOX, which is the old way of doing it. I'm going to take these out. So I'm saying, okay. So now I'm going to put in the form, and I'm putting in item 111, price $50, cost $44. Okay? So there's my form. Now, nothing happens until I click a button. So when I click calculate profit, it comes in here, sets up the memory variables, and does what I asked it to do. So, I'm going to click on calculate profit, and it now says, okay, that's the message box. So I set up DBL profit, price rather, and before I put out the message box, I said, take the price and put it in there. So the price is in there. And then I said, just to prove it, put up the message box, and that proves to me that DBL price is now $50, right? So if I'm having problems with it, this message box stuff is a great way of figuring out where you are. Now, notice that everything has come to a grinding halt because that's what message box does for you. And so now I'm going to hit OK, and I'm immediately seeing the message box showing the cost. Okay, but it comes to a grinding halt, then I'm clicking OK, and it finishes everything up. So I'm getting now, I'm taking the price, converting it over to currency. So I turn it to string, because when I'm going to be making it currency, I'm throwing in dollar signs and commas, and so it's not a pure number anymore. So I'm saying convert it to string of the type currency. So take double price, convert it to string of the amount currency, and put it into textprice.text. So I put it back into where it was. I originally had $50 there. I'm now replacing it with $50 in currency. And then I'm putting the cost back. And then I said, okay, now double profit. And notice when I do the profit, I am using the text price, the text cost. I'm not using the string version. I am using the string version. Sorry, I am using the string version. Actually, I don't usually do that. I said text cost. Double profit there equals text price minus text cost. I actually am surprised that I did that. It works, but it would have been better to do the calculation prior to doing the conversion. Do you see what I did there? I converted and put into text price the currency version. I put the currency version into cost. Then I did the subtract, and it did it all right, because it tries to help. But I guess I'm actually surprised I did that, and I didn't even notice that I did it. I would have done the calculation first.
All right, I have a quick question. When you're trying to convert it to currency and you do this, do you have to define it in the DIM up top always?
No.
The first program I sent you, I had trouble trying to convert the currency, and I just ended up getting...
You know, that's a clear way of doing it. Okay, here's clear, here's exit. Okay, so what... Let's see. So we'll take here and take and say text cost convert it to string. Let's try that. Conversion from string to type integer is not valid.
Yeah, that's what I get. Yeah.
Yeah. So it didn't want it. That's why I wanted to try it and see if you had to do it. So no, it didn't like that. So putting it into the work area.
So define it as double right away.
Yeah. Because what I was curious as to what it would do when I changed that, and.
And you can't make integer into currency.
You probably could make integer into currency.
See, I couldn't get it to work. No, I was going something wrong.
Okay. No, you probably, then maybe you can't.
I did. Dim.
I mean, there are, it has idiosyncrasies. And, you know, I try things like this one. I wasn't positive that this wasn't going to not work.
Figure out currency?
Yeah.
Oh.
So we don't like that way of doing it anymore. Okay. Yeah, no, I wasn't sure what that would do. I always do it the other way, but...
No, the way she just tried to change it, the way she has it up here works. That's because the first program I tried to do it as an integer, I tried doing it, and it wouldn't work for me, but I figured out what I just gave up.
And then, as I said, I really like this up here better. Try to remember to play. If you think of it, send me an email about other ways to convert to currency, because there are him send me an email.
Oh.
Because him asked the question.
Use format currency.
Okay, that works. That's an older way of doing it, but that works.
I thought it was easy.
Yeah, it is. Format currency. Okay. Is another approach. And if you go to Google and you do Visual Basic convert to currency, it will probably give you a load of places.
It gave me that. The two string C.
Yep.
And I tried that and it wanted all the double cost and double profit, double price.
Okay, so tell me how you wrote it.
I used format currency. I used format currency for the text boxes that were going to have currency in them. Like, item prices, text box will have format currency in front of it. It'll be format currency, and in parentheses will have the equation.
Right. Okay, so the way you did it, because there's more than one way to do these things always. Text profit dot text equals format currency. And see, there it is, format currency. And then you just put the DBL profit in there, right?
Yeah, pretty much. That's kind of word
now. Okay. Visual Basic is one of the languages that you really have to constantly be looking things up. I don't know if I were writing it every day and writing it 40 hours a week, then I probably wouldn't have to look things up as much. But there's a whole load of these dot-da-da, dot-da-da-da-da-da that, and if anything else, I forget the order that I've got to put them in. And the little phrase, like two string. And, you know, you forget those things. And that's why, basically, you need examples.
All right, what exactly does a two-string do, though?
converts it over to a string data, which is text data. String data is text data.
So it has to be turned into like a string, so you turn it into currency.
But this other one is that he just did works just fine too, which is to say format currency. And that means, and this is the way I always used to do it, the two string is recent versions. The historic way I used to do it is the format currency. So just take whatever you want to do and format currency. And then, okay, so that worked fine. And then we can also do text profit dot text equals format currency, and then we're going to put in there this, the calculation. And again, the little quote mark
makes it a comment.
Okay. And so that's the other way. So I could have done it all in one fell swoop and just said format currency, do the subtraction, format is currency, and put it into the text box. Does that get to some of the things you were asking about?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, so I'm now taking and saying, do this calculation. So in fact, what I'm doing there is, the way I did it here, I can take all of this stuff out. Well, I can take it. I'm not going to make it actually go away entirely, because if I do, then okay, so that's not going to format anything to currency other than profit, but I obviously could do the others. Okay. So now I've got that whole paragraph down to one line. That did the format currency. Now, if I want to format currency for all of the things like I did, then I go back in and I can add in text, what was it? Text price dot text equals format currency. Text price dot text. Okay. So now if I run this, okay, so that converted. And I obviously could have done the same thing with cost, but that just converted text price dot text over and did the calculation. Okay. Part of the problem with Visual Basic also is that there are oodles of ways you can do everything. If you go and actually look up how to format currency, they will push the two string C, because that's the latest wrinkle. But the others work.
So you don't care which one we use?
I don't care. I mean, I think you should try and play around with some of the things the book does, just because they're more the more current things. But it's good to know the others, because you go in and pick up some program that they now want to fix and was written 10 years ago or 5 years ago or whatever. It's going to have the older way of doing it in it. So it's not a bad thing to kind of try different approaches. You know, down here with CLEAR. You know, the other way of clearing something is to say text item dot text equals, which you can do in any language, or just quote quote, and that will work in any language. Or pretty much any language. And that made it go away. So the CLEAR can be written that way. Set the text to empty. Quote, quote is to empty. And there is a way of actually emptying it. You can do that. I'm trying to remember what it is, but I'm not clicking. That you can have empty in there too. So there's just numerous ways you can do these things. Okay, more questions. A lot of my old stuff you'll see exit on, because instead of me close, I used exit for years. And now they have me close, which is close the current form. Questions? Did that get to the things you were asking about? Or
yeah.
If you have something else, ask. Because if it's confusing you, undoubtedly it's confusing someone else. Okay. Yeah.
When you want that that total of purchases thing we were talking about in the email.
Oh yeah.
You want that in another text box, I'm assuming.
Or I said you could make it pop up in a message box.
So, the way I'm thinking about doing it is, it's a total of purchases, so it would be whatever the amount is after the discount, plus whatever the amount is after the discount, plus whatever the amount is after the discount. So, to write that, I'd just quote it as text after dot text, plus text after dot text.
Yeah. Text after dot text total equals text total plus whatever.
Yes.
Because when you're making a total, you basically accumulate.
It'd be the last total plus whatever the new after was.
And I would make that a global variable. The total I would make a global variable.
Yep.
Because if you make a total a global variable, then it doesn't get messed up as you're going along in different subroutines. It doesn't get set back to zero, etc.
Yeah.
You know, actually, I'll make that extra credit. So if you do it extra credit, so you're okay now. And if you do that, I'll give it extra credit. Right. Because when I started thinking about it, I'm not sure we've actually gone through it enough, and I don't want to take the detour today to go over it enough, so I'll make that extra credit. That was in the assignment. There is a place where I said I'd like to keep a total of all of the transactions, and if you do that successfully, I'll make that extra credit. Okay? So if you don't do it, that's fine. Because we're going to...
Is that on the if statements?
No, the one prior to the if statements. But I don't think we've really gone over that well enough, so I'm going to leave it that way and make that extra credit.
I'm a little confused on this assignment.
I know, it's getting more confusing.
Yeah, because you added a step that I don't think is in the instructions.
And I think it is, so...
With JavaScript, he kept adding all kinds of stuff that he didn't have to do.
Yes.
He confused me.
I know.
All right, then you have to do it. But they don't.
So you, and now it's extra credit. You don't have to do it. Don't worry.
Okay, what I had said here was You want to accumulate the total sales before discount and the total sales after discount. So if I went in and my first sale was $100, and then my next sale was $200, I've now got a total of $300. And if I have another sale of $50, I now have a total of $350.
Well, so what you're saying is the user can buy multiple items?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, my user was stupid.
Okay, and as I said, I'll give you extra credit if you do that, because in fact, I haven't gone over totals, and I probably should have gone over them before I did that. So I'll give you extra credit, and actually, I think I can probably work that in. I got to find the example that it's in. That's the reason I don't want to go over it today, is it will take me 20 minutes to find out which example will give you the answer to that. But that's what I meant by give me the total. And if you want to do it, as I said, I would declare the total as a global variable. But we'll leave that as an extra credit for now, and as long as you do the other stuff, that's fine. Okay. Was I... No, I didn't. So file, close solution. Okay, so now I'm going to open a project, and the project I want to look at is in chapter 4. And the one I want to look at is intro to if statements. I'm pretty sure that's the one. If you haven't, yeah. So that's the, I think that's the only one we're going to look at today, so you don't have to download them all. Because it's got a bunch of stuff in it. Has your Visual Basic come up yet?
Yeah.
Have you got it? Okay, in this one, has everybody got it downloaded? Or in process? Okay. On this particular one, I have a gazillion check buttons that you can click on. And the first one is button check CI. So I'm checking the boxes for CI. And I didn't put the names of boxes, but this first one I'm pretty sure is text first. So I'm putting CI there. And I said check CI. Okay. So notice in this one I am changing some properties inside the code. So I said text result, which is the name of that field. change the background color to antique white, which I'm not quite sure I think is. Change the foreground color to red, and then write out CI major. Else, I would be changing the background color to beige, the foreground color to brown, and writing out not CI major. Okay, so if I change this and now make it CIM or something and say check, it says not a CI major because it's looking for CI. Now notice with the clear, I cleared all the boxes, but then I also set the background and foreground color back to white and black. So if I click on the clear, I have set it back to white and black. So if I write something there, notice it comes out as black. So I've set the foreground color and the background color back to white and black, yeah.
You can't type in a box.
Pardon me?
You can't type in a box if you change the color of the paint.
Yeah, because I didn't make it not. Yes, I can. So, okay, let's say CI. And then I said check CI is what you are. And I can go ahead and write there. Now, if I'd made it a read-only box, then I can't. So I go down to the properties, and I can change the read-only property. And that means you can't write, you can only read in that box. So if I come down here and I go back to the form and I go back to, oh, I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at this one I want, right? Right. And I want alphabetical. And read only is now set to false. And if I set read only to true, and then run this. Okay, so I'm gonna say CI and check CI, and it is. And now if I try to type there, I can't type there because I made it a read only. Okay, so read only is a nice thing to use because if you look at a form and you're not sure whether you should fill out the thing or not, if it's read-only, you can't fill it out, then you know it's not something you should be filling out. It's going to be calculated for you. I can't remember what I filled out recently on a commercial thing, and I thought, you know, they needed that property changed. And then when I clear, I've cleared it out. Okay. Now, if I go down to my next thing, I've got my if statement. And I said this is an and. Okay, so I'm basically saying here for this one, if it's CI, then, and you have to have the word then there. Now, luckily, it will fill it in for you. It didn't used to. And the odds of my remembering then are slim. So it's a really good thing that it fills it in for you. So now I've said, if textfirst.text equals CI, then ask the next question. Is textresult.text greater than 3.5? Then put the word honors into textresult.text. Okay? And since I have two if statements, I have an end if and an end if. The alternative way of doing that is to put it into a compound, okay, and just say this and this, and just put it in a compound. so that I am saying there, if text first dot text equals CI and text second dot text is greater than 3 point, how many is 6 there, whatever, then I will put out the word on us. Okay? Notice that I have no curly braces, thank you, but I do have end ifs. So every if needs to have an end if. It needs to be ended. I much prefer in my if statements this style, because it's pseudocode, basically, than the curly braces. They're not my favorite.
Nobody likes curly braces.
But they keep on...
C++ like curly braces, too.
Yeah, oh, C++ was, C was, I think C was the originator of all that is evil in curly braces. Yeah, I'm not fond of them. Okay, now the problem with this one is it didn't have an else. And so if the criteria were not met, nothing displayed. And that, I find that disconcerting, because you're not sure it worked when nothing displayed. And so I like to have else's on things. And I find that when you're dealing with end users, which is what you're dealing with, end users feel more reassured if something happens. Okay, so on this one, I've got an else on the next one going down, and I said if text first dot text equals CI, then, and ask another question, else, if it's not, okay, this if will drop right down to the else, okay? So it will come right down. This if, this else, that end if all go together. Okay? And this if, else, and end if go together. So if it is not true, if the first question is not true, if it's not CI, I go to the text and I print out not honors. Else, if it is CI, then I ask about GPA, and then I print out either honors or not honors. Now, in fact, I would have liked this better to have said on the bottom one, not CI. Okay? But I wanted to make them... you'll see I did it, I think, in the next one. But on this one, I wanted to make the two no's say the same thing so I could turn it into a compound. So I've got if it's CI and text second is greater than, then put out honors, else put out not honors. End if. Okay? So I have basically got an else in there. And so if I put one else in, if I compound it and put one else in, then the else has to work for either of them being wrong. Either of them being wrong or both of them being wrong. Okay, because how many possibilities are there when you have two conditions in an AND relationship? Okay, if I have two conditions, those are my four possibilities. Okay? This is question one. This is question two. My four possibilities are, I can get a yes to both of them.
I can get a yes to the first one and a no to the second. I can get a no to the first and a yes to the second. Or I can get no to both of them. Well, when I'm asking for and, only that first one is going to be true. All of the others take the else, right?
So in this one, all of the others take an else. Because when I have an and, they both have to be true, or all the others take the else.
If it's or, how many are true and what one and what takes the else? How many take the else if that's an or? One is yes. That's okay. So those three are okay. This one is the else. I have to get no to both of them to go to the else when it's an or. Because if they're both true, that's fine. If the first one's true but the second one isn't, that's fine because it's an or. Okay. As long as I get one yes, I'm fine. That's known as a kind of corrupted decision table. But that's known as a decision table. Questions? I did take a picture, right? Better that I take extra pictures and delete them when I get home. Okay, now down here, I put the if statement. I've got three different messages. So what does that mean? That means I can't do a compound because everything is resulting in a different message. If they're both true, I want to say on a CI. If the CI isn't true, then I want to say not a CI student. If the GPA isn't true, then I want to say not an honors GPA. So since I have totally different things to say, I can't put an and there and say if text first is CI and text second is greater than 3.5, do honors CI else. But I don't know what to put in the else. Which message do I put in the else? So then I end up having to ask another question. And so that doesn't make any sense. Okay. And on this one, I have an or. So this one is an or. If first equals CI, say it's okay. Else, second chance, say it's okay. Else, ran out of chances, it's neither of them. So if the first equals CI or the second is greater than 3.5, I put out or. Otherwise, I put out neither in this case or not either, depending on what you're doing. And if I make different messages, I can't compound. So the one at the bottom is not compounded. Okay, this is the one that says button and B or C. Button A and B or C. This one is saying A has to be true. A has to be true. And either B or C. A being the first condition, B being the second condition, C being the third condition. So A has to be true. So notice when I broke it down, I'm saying if text first dot text equals CI, continue on your way. If not, end if. So I do nothing. If it is CI, then I've got two possible ways that it can print. Either text second is greater than 3.5, or text third is greater than 30. Either one of them. If I run out of chances, I don't have any else's, so I don't have any messages. But if you look down at the one below, I put in the else's. Before we leave, actually, notice and remember that ands get resolved before ors. Ands get resolved before ors. So in this case, I'm saying text equals CI and there's almost the word either there. And those have to be in parentheses. If they weren't in parentheses, then it would take the things around the and group them, and the other thing would stand alone. Okay? Because what I want here is CI, and then either of these two things. Either of those two things. So CI and either of those two things. If it's not CI, nothing. If it's not either of those two things, nothing. If that doesn't make sense, tell me.
It says good, right?
Yeah. And said God at one point, but I added an extra O. Yeah, and the top one says Goo, I think more likely, but it really thinks it says good.
I said 9,000.
Yeah, that too.
Not terribly legible, but better. Okay, so on this one, I've got the else's in there. I should have actually said
that this flowchart goes with this. Because down on the else one, I have got
different criteria. No, I guess I'm all right. But I didn't put any else's in there. Except one. And then if we keep going down, the last one is saying if it's CI and this one has got a two upper in it. So this allows me to check for CI being I converted.
So whatever the user types in here is getting converted to uppercase, and then I can compare it to CI. Because in all of the others, if the user typed in lowercase CI, it would match. But now I'm saying take whatever the user types in and convert it to uppercase. And as soon as I convert it to uppercase, then I can compare it to capital CI. Okay? My alternative would be to write if textfirst.text equals uppercase CI or textfirst.text equals lowercase CI. But this is just an easy way. I'm saying whatever they type in, convert it, and then compare it to uppercase CI. And there's obviously a two lower, if I wanted to use that, and then I could put lowercase CI in. Okay. This is what I want to get started on, and we don't have an awful lot of time, so we're not going to get it all done. But this is an assignment, so I'd like you to download that assignment.
think I actually have it, but we'll find out. Okay, what I've got here is I've got a form. Actually, I didn't mean to start it, so I'll stop it. I've got a form, and I've got a code field, and I've got three field fields. And if you look over here, you can see that I call them text code, text field 1, text field 2, text field 3, and the big one is text result. So that's text code, text field 1, text field 2, text field 3, text result. If you click on first, I said, this is what I want you to do. So basically, I have got here 7 different if statements. The structure one, I'm giving it to you now because I want you to get started on it. The last one we'll look at Thursday, so you can't do the last one unless you want to look ahead. But we'll look at that because it has for use the case structure, and I haven't taught you the case structure yet. But the others you can. So I would like you to take some time and start doing those so that you can experiment with if statements. So the first one says, write the code to check code for A and field 1 greater than 5,000 or B and field 2 greater than 25. Respond with either OK or problem. Do it once with separate if statements, and then in button second, do it using one if statement. And the respond with OK or problem means I want a bunch of else's because it's either OK or it's a problem. So result is either going to say okay or problem. And you're more than welcome to talk it over with each other. That's why we're doing it in class. And that was created with absolute silence. You can have two Visual Basics open at the same time, by the way. So I left mine open, and I've gone into another Visual Basic where I've got the assignment so that you can go back and forth between the two. So I've got two Visual Basics open, one that I can look at and one that I can